Blog Talk Radio.
It's Thursday, September 20th, 2018. Impact Wrestling comes to us tonight from Mexico, but Andrew Socek and I are coming to you from the United States, from Boston and in Minnesota, if I remember correctly. We are here live on the PW Torch livecast talking Impact Wrestling as they are well on the road to Bound for Glory. Andrew, what were your thoughts on this show tonight? The first one in these Mexico tapings, which I think are only going to be a few weeks. I think they taped everything down in Mexico up to Bound for Glory. So I think it's 3 or 4 weeks, whatever we are away from Bound for Glory. But the first airing of the Mexico tapings comes on tonight. What was your reaction?
Overall, I'm going to say I was a little disappointed. I was hoping for a hotter crowd, just some more. I don't know. Just something wasn't quite clicking for me tonight. And I, you know, it looked good on TV. It's good, always good to for them to move around. But yeah, just I think the crowd really let things down tonight. There was a lot of empty seats. It just really lacked energy for being so close to their biggest show of the year. How do you feel?
It's interesting because I thought the arena looked good. It was an arena, first of all, which, I mean, when's the last time we saw them in an arena, you know? And I liked the Rebel Complex. I don't think there was anything wrong with that. But this was them actually in an arena. You could tell it was an arena. I agree with you. You know, I thought they did a pretty good job of hiding the fact that the building wasn't completely sold out. From what I could find online, though, it doesn't surprise me that they didn't sell it out. I think I read it's like a little over 4,000 seats. So it doesn't surprise me that they didn't sell it out. Based on that capacity number, it looked like they may have had 1,000 people, you know, maybe 1,500 people, which for them is a really damn good crowd. So, you know, I think maybe you could have, there were ways maybe they could have hit it a better, maybe just position the ring differently further down one end so it didn't look like there were as many empty seats. I don't know. It's hard. I think either way, with the way the arena was set up, it wasn't really a bowl. And again, if I found the correct pictures, it's kind of like a highlight arena, which I only know what highlight is because I've seen it in person before on vacation. But if you don't know what highlight is, it's this game where these guys kind of throw a ball up against the wall. And the way it's set up is you've got the highlight court is – it's almost set up like a theater, but think a really long theater. Like instead of a theater where you have all the seats on one side and a stage on the other, it's that, but it's probably 50 yards long, you know? So it doesn't – I don't know if there's really was a way that they could have set that up to make it look different, but – I like the fact that it looked like it was coming to us from an arena, and you could see that the ceiling was higher, and I thought the screen setup was good and everything. But yeah, I kind of expected it to be a hotter crowd, and especially at certain moments. I thought like the crowd was excited, especially I think they're the most excited to see Pentagon and Phoenix. But even then, it felt like they would have a bigger reaction when they were in Toronto. So I'm not totally disappointed in it, just because I think that the fact they're taking the show on the road is a good thing, and a different setting is a good thing. But this was – I would say this wasn't exactly what I expected. I thought the building looked good. But again, yeah, I would say that the crowd at times was disappointing. But maybe my expectations were too high too.
Yeah, maybe mine were as well. I know we've seen them – it seems like whenever they go to a new location, it's a really hot crowd that first night. A little less so the second one. And I guess I was just expecting that. I mean, I haven't seen them. I don't think I've ever seen a televised event from them in Mexico that I can think of. So I thought it would just be.
They said this was the first time that they were doing TV in Mexico ever.
Yeah.
So it may. Yeah, I'm not sure that they've ever done TV there.
Yeah. So I was just expecting a hotter crowd. And I mean, it really stood out to me at the end of the night when Johnny Impact came in and Eddie Edwards came in. the crowd just it was a flat reaction. Nobody seemed to care. And that was leaves me a little worried for the next 3 weeks and how that's going to be. And just at the end, too, maybe they taped the matches in a different order or something. But it just looked like there were less people on the hard camera side. It looked like they just had left before that main event. And it didn't look great.
Yeah, and that's – I wonder the same thing. If they did 4 weeks of television, they only had two nights there. I think they were there the 13th mm-hmm. and the 14th. So if they yeah. were doing 2 weeks of television per night, if that was the last thing of night one, you know, that could have been hour four of television taping. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I agree with you. I thought the reaction to Johnny Impact was at the end of the night was really dull. It mm-hmm. wasn't much of a reaction at all. Part of me wonders if that's maybe an unfamiliarity, too. I mean, I know he's part of Lucha Underground and he's wrestled in AAA, but he's not, quote unquote, one of their guys. You know, if that was Pentagon in that spot, or if that was Phoenix in that spot, or if that was, you know, just pick anybody. I mean, pick a AAA guy, for example. If he's in the main event at Bound for Glory against Austin Aries and he's running out at the end of the night to attack Austin Aries, is there a bigger reaction? And maybe there is, maybe there isn't. But I would agree with you that it didn't seem like Johnny Impact's appearance connected with that crowd. And I wonder if just part of that is, you know, that's not somebody necessarily that maybe that crowd came to see. It will be different in New York, I think, at Bound for Glory. I think more people in that crowd are going to be there to see Johnny Impact. I wonder how many of the people in the crowd there in Mexico was there to see Pentagon and there to see Phoenix and there to see Aerostar and there to see the other Mexican wrestlers who were utilized on the show. And I, from what I understand, will continue to be utilized on the show while they're down there in Mexico. I kind of wonder if that played into this at all.
I certainly think so. I mean, it didn't look like people were really wearing Impact merchandise. There wasn't any signs in the crowd. The Impact talent just didn't receive, excuse me, like big reactions overall. And I guess, you know, something that also stood out to me was just how goofy Johnny Impact looked at the end of the night. I mean, he just does not dress like a star when he's wearing like Zuba type pants and very neon green shirt type of thing. It just a bad look, and it just a sad. I won't say sad. That's probably too much, but just a very flat way to end the night. And yeah, I'm a little curious how it's going to be in the next few weeks.
Well, I mean, that goes back to kind of the problem that you and I have talked about for several weeks now, and that's whether or not he's the right guy to be the lead babyface. And if he's the lead, or if he's the babyface challenging for the world title going into your biggest show of the year, they're treating him as a lead babyface. And it's not that I don't think he could be a top guy for them. It's just it's kind of like Roman Reigns, only with the volume turned way down. I think he's better utilized as a heel. He just kind of seems like, to me anyway, he is the perfect cocky, arrogant heel who's full of himself. And also he's really good, but he's also really full of himself. Yeah. That I think he plays that type of role perfectly. And now, granted, that's the type of role he played when he was what was it? Johnny Nitro in WWE.
Johnny Nitro and
a very similar character.
John Morrison, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it would be, I think it's a very similar character, but at the same time, you know, he's also more seasoned now and he's 10 years older than he was when he was in WWE. So I think that he would play that role really well. It almost feels to me like he's a little miscast. And it's not that he's bad. I mean, you and I have gone through this time and time again. He's really good. Like, in the ring, he's one of their best wrestlers. There's no question in my mind. Athletically, he can do things that other guys just can't do. But it does still feel like he's a little miscast as the lead babyface, because I just don't think enough people connect with him as a babyface. I think he's a little too cheesy, whether it's Slam Town or calling people turd cutters or wearing Zubaz pants. Yeah, he's just a little too over-the-top cheesy, I think, to be the lead babyface that people connect with. Like, people don't – I don't think people are going to naturally connect with his character as a babyface as they would maybe a Brian Cage if you gave him more character or told more of a story with him. I just think Johnny Nitro or Johnny Impact the name is part of it too. The name, as I say that, you know, yeah, the name even plays into the cheesiness of it. But I just think he's better as a heel. And that's, you know, the name is a perfect example. He can call himself Johnny Impact as a heel because, you know what? He is the show. And that could be his deal. I am the show. You know, I'm the only reason this show exists. I'm the only reason, I'm the only thing on this show worth watching. That's why I'm Johnny Impact. You can, it can be part of the whole package.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, you know, something that struck me today, too, I was listening to Wade and Jason Powell's show on Thursday, and they were talking about how Roman Reigns cannot cut the go-home promo. Like, when is this guy going to be able to do that? That's obviously what you want in your lead babyface, somebody who can cut this passionate promo that's going to get you to spend money on the show. Like, that's never going to happen for Johnny Impact. You know, he's some, like, seeing him in Lucha Underground, he's done some really good work as a heel at acting. But it just doesn't come across when he's a babyface. I hear he's actually doing pretty good work as a babyface. I haven't caught that yet in Lucha Underground at the moment, but what he's doing in Impact isn't working. And I just can't imagine him cutting a 10-minute promo on the go home to Bound for Glory. So, yeah, he's just straight up miscast. It's not as frustrating as, say, a Roman Reigns, but it's still a problem. And it's just, you know, they're hurting right now for a top level babyface because Moose was at the last pay per view, and now it's Johnny Impact, and I the crowd just doesn't seem to be wanting to see this title change yet.
Well, I think that's the point. Yeah, they are, and I agree. They don't have that top babyface because if they did. Let me start over again. If they take Johnny Impact out of that spot, as you and I suggest, I would go back to, well, who do you put there?
Right.
You know, do you put Pentagon or Phoenix there? Do you put Brian Cage there? I mean, I don't know who you put in that spot. And it's almost like Johnny Impact is the top babyface by default because he's the biggest star on the babyface side of the roster. The biggest name, anyway, on the babyface side of the roster. But yeah, it doesn't. I don't know that they have anybody that else that you would. There's no slam dunk that you would say yes, this person should be their top babyface right now. Look, Brian Cage might be in a year, but even his push seems like he's slowed down a little bit. You know, I expected him to be in a more featured singles match at Bound for Glory instead of a six man. At least he's in there, you know, with a top act of the show like Pentagon, Phoenix, and OVE. But still. I expected him to be in a bigger singles match at Bound for Glory, and he's not. I don't know, really. I mean, Eddie Edwards, he was just a heel 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't seem like they have the lead babyface to go with right now, and that could be why Johnny Impact's in that spot. It's just he's the biggest name on their babyface roster, so hence he's challenging for the world title at their biggest pay-per-view, because who else are you going to put there?
I think ideally they wouldn't have screwed up the push of Pentagon and that he would still have he could have lost the title and this would have been his chance at redemption. But I mean, they haven't completely botched his character, but he's not that interesting right now. I think they should get him away from his brother. I put him as singles acts, get him away from each other, have them do their own thing. Putting him in that feud with OBE just I don't know. It doesn't seem like that's the right cast for him. I would have rather have seen him in the main event. He just seems like a bigger star at this point in time. I think they would have more luck with him, but they probably have to rebuild him or retweak his character a bit to get him back in the main event.
Pentagon to me feels like he's their biggest star.
Yeah. Yep.
And he still, I think, is going to become a bigger star than he is now. I mean, you look at the match he's coming off of with Kenny Omega at All In, like, that was a featured match on that show, and it was a really good match on that show. Pentagon feels to me like he's their most marketable guy right now, as just a top star. And, you know, maybe part of this was they weren't sure what he was going to do. You know, and it seems like from what I read today from PW Insider, Impact is working on new deals for Pentagon and Phoenix, and they've signed new deals, I think, with MLW as well. So it doesn't look like they're going to WWE, and it doesn't look like they'll be part of NXT, at least for the next year or so. But maybe part of this pause with Pentagon was they didn't know what he was going to do. And they've gotten caught in the past with you know, pushing guys and having them leave, or pushing guys and having them get in trouble, like Alberto El Patron. So maybe they were just trying to safeguard it and say, hey, we don't know what these guys are going to do, so we've got to dial them back a little bit because we don't want to have Pentagon be our world champion and then have to suddenly leave the company. It seems like that has all been ironed out fairly recently, that they're not going to go to WWE, at least not right now. So, and that may have been, you know, that may not have been settled until maybe after this set of tapings, or maybe before, or right after. So it just, it seems like he's their biggest star. And if they were pulling back because of the threat of him going to WWE, I get it. I think they're trying to protect themselves, and that's fine. But what happens is it stands out more than maybe it stands out. You know, if WWE is protecting themselves against somebody who might not sign a new contract, like a Daniel Bryan, right? There was speculation that they were pulling back on Daniel Bryan because he hadn't signed his new deal. They didn't know what he was going to do. You notice it because you notice Daniel Bryan's push gets scaled back a little bit. But it's hidden by the fact that they have Samoa Joe on the SmackDown roster and AJ Styles and all these other stars. I think when you take someone like Pentagon, who might be their biggest star, and he's one of only a few guys on that roster that I would call a bona fide star, when you dial back his push and there's not a lot of depth there on, you know, on the star portion of your roster, maybe that is just where it becomes a little more noticeable.
Yeah, completely agree. I mean, their match does not feel like a big deal right now. The OBE versus the Lucha Brothers, which is just not a great name. I feel for a Pentagon, like such a creepy, dark character. I'm with you. I don't think they knew what they had, how long they would have him for. They kind of shook things up and gave him the belt, kind of out of nowhere, which was a very exciting thing. And all of that excitement is completely gone, and it almost doesn't feel like he was really champion. I don't feel like Austin Aries and Johnny Impact is clicking right now. And I just lay that mostly on Johnny Impact not being that lovable as a babyface, whereas Pentagon naturally gets people behind him. And I just think that would have been the much better match. So, I mean, it's unfortunate. And I keep going back to this, but to get people to pay $40 in this era to see Aries Impact, I feel that's a bit of a stretch right now.
Yeah, and you know, we talked about this last week, that NWA show that's going to air the week after Bound for Glory is, I think, 25. So yeah. They're the most – I mean, I don't know what Ring of Honor's pay-per-views go for, but they're one of the most expensive singular shows in wrestling right now, at least on pay-per-view, which is something to consider. I mean – It's tough. It's tough to ask people to spend that amount of money when they're used to, as we've said, spending $10 a month and getting everything, getting a pay-per-view plus more. So that's going to be a challenge, and it's going to continue to be a challenge when they don't really have the deepest of rosters. Now, I like some of the things that they're doing. Like, I don't want to make it sound like we're just bashing everything they're doing, because some of the stuff they're doing, they're building some guys really well. Like, you look at the year that Sami Callihan has had, as you and I have talked about, like, they're doing some great work with Sami Callihan, and he's obviously should be credited with a lot of that too. I think they're doing really good things with Brian Cage, even though it feels like he's been scaled back a little bit. Tessa Blanchard's push is finally in full swing. Like, they're doing some good things with certain individuals. It just seems like the top end of their roster right now feels miscast. And again, I think that just comes down to the fact that maybe they don't have a true top babyface on their roster right now. That could be the biggest thing. It could be that no matter who they put in that spot, nothing's going to feel right, because no one that they have right now is really a bona fide lead babyface.
Yeah. I mean, I kept thinking about that multiple times tonight, just like, man, there's not many matches I really want to see right now. You know, because you kind of like fantasy book in your head and think of dream matches, and there's not a lot on the roster right now, because it still feels like they're in a bit of a rebuilding stage. I mean, Austin Aries is main eventing the next pay-per-view, but he just put his stable together really just like a few weeks ago, and Moose just joined it. It doesn't feel like a year's end show. I mean, you know, like their version of WrestleMania, in the sense that it's the culmination of all these major feuds. It just really feels like another show at this point, because they haven't built towards these storylines in an effective manner. They're not terrible. Again, I'm probably being more negative than I need to be, but I feel they've just kind of plateaued the past few weeks where they're delivering shows at the end of the night. We're like, yeah, that was okay. But right now I'm not just like thrilled to see what they have coming up next week. And I'm not just like overly excited about what's going on with Bound for Glory right now.
The biggest match that I think they have, and I know this match has happened before, but it would be a fresh match for Impact. To me, the biggest match that they have that they could promote that would get people excited is probably Brian Cage against Pentagon. That just feels like it's the biggest. Work rate standpoint, it would be a good match. Also, Brian Cage is an up-and-coming star. Pentagon feels like a star. I almost wish that they somehow got the title on Pentagon and that Pentagon Cage was the main event, because one of the matches right now that I want to see. That I think it's happened in Lucha Underground. I recently heard an interview with Brian Cage. I think he was on Don Callis's Killing the Town podcast. And I know Cage said he's wrestled Pentagon before. You would know, I'm sure. But I believe he said he's faced Pentagon in Lucha Underground. I know he had not faced Phoenix until a couple of weeks ago when they had that match on Impact TV. But Cage and Pentagon feels to me like it's the biggest match they could offer right now that I think would get people excited. And when I say people, I mean the people that bought a show like All In, the type of crowd that you're trying to appeal to. We see Impact trying to do things that they're trying to make inroads with New Japan and maybe come up with a partnership there. They're trying to partner with more marketable names and get themselves out there. And I feel like they're trying to appeal to the older fan. They're trying to appeal to the fan that was that bought All In and was interested in that type of show. That is the biggest match I think they could promote that would appeal to that type of fan. And they wouldn't draw 10,000 people, but there would be a certain segment of that older, smarter, for lack of a better term, audience that I think would be excited about Brian Cage versus Pentagon and might buy your pay-per-view to see that match. I don't think any of that crowd is going to do backflips to watch Johnny Impact against Austin Aries.
Yeah, I think if they had portrayed Pentagon as more of a killer, sorry that I keep talking about Lucha Underground, but he's a guy that just comes in, he breaks your arm and shows no remorse, and that gets over like crazy with their crowd. I mean, the people just go crazy for it. And had they shown that, him just destroying people left and right, and then on the other side, here comes Cage and nobody can stand up to him. Like, yeah, that's a big match that people would want to see, because I think Impact has done a solid job of protecting Cage so far. Sorry, I kind of lost my train of thought there. Yeah.
Yeah, with the exception of that count-out loss. Or DQ loss, whatever it was.
Yeah, that was a rough one. I'm still wondering about that one. So, yeah, I mean, that would have been a much better way, much more exciting match to really give people something to get excited about. Because, like you said, I just don't – Aries is doing a great job. He's cutting great promos, but he just doesn't seem a natural fit for Johnny Impact right now. And they can't even promote that his first time ever, because they essentially did it on TV probably like 6 months ago or so.
Exactly. Yeah. You know what? I'm drawing a blank. What was the main event of Bound for Glory last year? Johnny Impact was in a world title match. Was he not?
Was that Eli Drake?
Was it Eli Drake?
Or did they fight at Redemption?
That's what I'm they're blending together for me. Let me look this up now, because this is going to bug me. That wasn't Impact in Del Rio or El Patron, was it? Did that match ever actually happen? No, you're right. It was Eli Drake. Eli Drake defeated Johnny Impact in the main event for the Global Championship last year at Bound for Glory. You know what? While I have this up here, last year's Bound for Glory card. Just listen to this, because some of these guys have come and gone, and some of these matches sound silly looking back. Trevor Lee beat Desmond Xavier, Garza Jr., Matt Sydal, Petey Williams, and Sanjay Dutt. And, of course, that was a six-way match for the X Division Championship, because you can't have just a one-on-one match.
Oh, man, just like think of how far Trevor Lee has fallen.
Yeah.
Like how he was positioned tonight.
And he was champion, by the way. He retained his title there. Wow. Taiji Ishimori defeated Tyson Dukes. This was Bound for Glory last year, which, if you remember, took place at Aberdeen Pavilion in Ottawa. Abyss beat Grado in a Monsters Ball match, and Grado had his work visa terminated, and he had to leave the United States, despite the fact that the match was taking place in Canada. So Grado loses a match in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, and has to leave the United States because his work visa was terminated. Team Impact, EC3, Eddie Edwards and James Storm beat Team AAA, which was El Hijo del Fantasma, Pagano, and El Tejano, who we saw tonight, in a six-man tag match. A 51-50 street fight for the World Tag Team Championship. OVE retained, beating LAX. Gail Kim won the Knockouts Championship, beating Sienna, who was the champion, and Allie in a three-way, and of course she then retired. Six Sides of Steel, Lashley, I forgot about this, Lashley and King Mo beat Moose and Stephen Bonner.
Oh, wow.
So it's been a year since Moose was breaking into American Top Team with Stephen Bonner and smashing up trophy cases.
Man, yeah, if you gave me like $20 and said name three matches that were on that card, I don't think I could have done that.
I know. And then in the main event, Eli Drake retained the Impact World title. I'm sorry, the global title with Chris Adonis in his corner over Johnny Impact. So, yeah, Bound for Glory, that was the show. It wasn't Redemption, right? It was Bound for Glory where El Patron returned and cut that really weird promo.
Yes, yes. He basically, yeah, he took over the show and then got involved in the main event.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, that's right, he did. So that was Bound for Glory last year. Bound for Glory this year will be a little different. Some of these names are names that we will see on this show. The only matches announced for Bound for Glory so far, there's three of them. We have Austin Aries versus Johnny Impact for the Impact World title. So Johnny Impact, the challenger for the World Championship in back-to-back Bound for Glories. We also have a six-man tag team concrete jungle of death match or whatever they called it. LAX versus the OGs. And then we have another one that has been unexplained, an OVE rules match where OVE takes on Brian Cage, Phoenix, and Pentagon. So what are your thoughts on the two six-man matches? Are you surprised that they're doing basically what sounds like two six-man street fights on the same show?
That's crazy. Yeah, I that's probably too much because I'm sure people are going to be bleeding heavily in both of them and it'll be chaotic. Yeah, I mean, it's just, I think OVE should not have been in that match. It ideally would have been Jericho, Callahan, and then give OVE the other guys something else to do, or they could have just got involved in the Jericho match. They'll both be good, but it is kind of weird that two of the three matches announced right now are six-man tags.
And then lastly, before we go to a break and come back and get to calls, by the way, the number to call, 515-605-9345. Not sure if I said that already, but if I didn't, it's 515-605-9345. Make sure you hit the number one. That's going to let us know you want to get on the air, and we'll put you up here on the PW Torch Thursday live cast talking Impact Wrestling. One more thing I wanted to touch on before we go to break, though. I don't think there were any Richie references tonight. Did I miss it? Did I miss one?
No. Feverishly awaiting an update, and we didn't get one.
So I hope that doesn't mean that our man has been forgotten about.
No, he better not have. I'm hoping he's special guest referee.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's assuming he's out of the intensive care unit.
Assuming he's woken up from the coma.
Yes. As we know, you know, Kang wished that he killed him. He did say that last week. Although, that's one more thing before we go to break. We also learned that there was still another murder reference on this show. Conan said that if LAX violated the ceasefire, that they would be thrown into a 50-gallon drum of acid and they would disappear. So
that's right. Yeah,
that happened.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, I wonder if that's going to be the actual stipulation at this point. Just one team gets thrown into a vat of acid.
The match is not over until someone is murdered. Think a concrete jungle, what do they call it?
A concrete jungle. Is it just concrete jungle match? Is there more to it?
What is that going to be?
I assume they're going to fight in the streets, and like, it's going to be pre-taped due to Conan's limitations.
Ooh, that is a good point.
Yeah.
I was thinking, I mean, I was trying to figure out how are they going to get concrete involved? Like, they're going to set up slabs of concrete in the corner like you would a table, but you can't be dragging around 500-pound slabs of concrete and throwing it in a ring. That's a good point. I bet they do it outside.
Yeah, or a loser gets covered in concrete and dies.
Hey, this is all leading to someone dying, as we know.
I'm starting to wonder if they'll kill off a character. I mean, it would be Eddie Kingston, I assume, but because I don't know. I would like the guys to stick around and just be in the tag division, but I imagine they will disappear for a while at least.
All right, let's go to a break. When we come back, we'll go to phone calls. Again, 515-605-9345 is the phone number. We're talking Impact Wrestling. We're talking Bound for Glory. We're talking anything and everything related to Impact this week on the live cast. Also, one of the things we'll get to when we get back, before we go to phone calls, there was a secret meeting, apparently, that took place as Impact officials came back from London a few weeks ago. According to reports, Impact officials were meeting in Stamford, Connecticut with WWE. So Andrew and I will talk about that before we get to phone calls right after the break here on the Thursday live cast.
The good, the bad, and the ugly. The Sala Monster sounds off.
Mundo goes to leave and Taya says, "Wait, aren't you going to put any pants on?" He just goes, "No time for pants." And he walks off. That also happens to be Randy Orton's philosophy in life. My philosophy, too. See, you don't know if I'm wearing pants right now or not, do you? You can't see. I could be wearing nothing right now for all you know. No time for pants.
Sala Monster sounds off. Since 2007, the Sala Monster sounds off. Available at thesalamonster.com, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, and more.
All right, back here on the PW Torus Livecast, and like Andrew and I were saying, Impact officials, on their way back from London in MediaCon a few weeks ago, stopped in Stanford, according to a report from PW Insider. Ed Nordholm and Scott D'Amore were there for Impact. It doesn't say if Don Callis was, but it noted that Ed Nordholm and Scott D'Amore were there. He was meeting with members of Triple H's team, not Vince McMahon. And here's what I think is interesting. And I'm not saying that they're flat-out lying here, but according to the report, an Impact source said the meeting had nothing to do with the potential sale of the company or its video library, as neither are for sale. And it was not about any type of specific negotiations. It was just a chance to get the two companies in the same room, which, again, that might be true. It seems a little odd that people were so quick to say, "Nope, we're not for sale. This is not about us selling the company. It's just a chance to get everybody in the same room." Well, what is there exactly to talk about? Mm-hmm. WWE doesn't exactly partner with other companies. It goes on. More of this started to come out later on this week. The Wrestling Observer Newsletter reported that Impact officials were there pitching, while WWE officials were there listening. The Observer, in their report, said that the belief is that the meeting did have to do with WWE Network and the Impact tape library. So that makes sense. Maybe WWE or maybe Impact is trying to sell WWE on the fact that, hey, you can or we can lease you our video library for WWE Network. What that would do to the GWN app remains to be seen. We talked about the app a couple of weeks ago. I would say that if they are pitching WWE on maybe putting Impact's video library on WWE Network, it would mean the end of the GWN app, which probably means that it's not exactly a huge moneymaker. The report, again, from the Wrestling Observer Newsletter goes on to say that it was speculated that Impact could be interested in a deal that would see them make money by giving WWE Network access to their footage or TV shows. Impact may have improved creativity as of late, but it continues to struggle when it comes to mainstream star power, and they continue to be a big money loser. This report coming from Wrestling Inc., by the way. Impact's Pop TV deal ends later this year and pays very little, if anything. And the Observer noted that the only way the promotion can make money these days is with paying TV deals. In addition to the Pop TV deal, they're making less money than before in the UK, and the only real significant TV money they have is from India. From Sony 6, which again we've talked about. So the reason they did tapings in India last year is the fact that India is their highest grossing television deal. So that's no surprise. The Observer noted how Impact may not sell the tape library because so much of their footage is used on the Fight Network, which also is run by Anthem, but there could be some sort of deal where they're able to continue using the archive footage. WWE was in talks to purchase Impact a few years back with the idea of buying it for the tape library and then shutting it down, but they offered less money than Anthem and Billy Corgan. WWE and Anthem have been on good business terms of late, as Impact has allowed WWE to use footage for projects on the Hardys and WWE champion AJ Styles. So that's the deal. And that wouldn't necessarily surprise me. You know, if I don't think, and again, I thought it was weird that they just came out and flatly denied that they were for sale. That's a little strange. But again, I understand why someone in their company's position would feel the need to say that, because the first thing people are going to think is, oh, they were there trying to sell the company. It's interesting, though, where the report from the Observer noted that the television deal is up at the end of the year and it doesn't pay them very much, if anything at all. WWE has sent out survey after survey after survey where they ask people what other wrestling content they want to see on WWE Network, and Impact is always in those surveys. So let's say, I mean, who knows, if WWE offers Impact Wrestling $20,000 an episode for Impact to air on WWE Network as a streaming product and take it off regular TV altogether, that's probably more than they're making with Pop. So do you think there's the potential that a year from now, you and I are watching Impact on Thursday nights as a show that streams on WWE Network?
Oh man, that would be weird. I'm going to say
very weird.
Yeah. I'm going to say no, just because it's not enough. It's too like violent for what WWE does right now, and it's not popular enough for them to want to air it every single week. I would say it just doesn't fit in with what they're doing at the moment. If I had to guess, yeah, it's just along the lines of, hey, you've got footage for us before, but now let's all just meet and see where this could maybe go. Let's talk about giving you more footage in the future. Yeah, that'd be my guess. What are you kind of thinking it is?
It's weird, though. I mean, the reports were that Impact was pitching. So they were pitching something.
Yeah.
What would be interesting to me, and we'll never know this, does WWE have some type of market research where they look at Impact and say, okay, there's 300,000 people that watch the show, and we have market research that says of that 300,000, 200,000 of them are not WWE fans and they don't subscribe to the WWE Network. So does WWE think that putting Impact on the network as a regular show, just like NXT, you know, NXT would air on Wednesdays and Impact would air on Thursdays, let's say. Do they think that that would drive subscriptions? Because from WWE's standpoint, even if it attracts 100,000 people, if 100,000 people that aren't subscribing to WWE Network do subscribe to WWE Network because they want to continue to watch Impact Wrestling, that's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a lot of money. So do the 100,000 people at $10 a month is $1 million a month. So I don't know. And again, like, they would have to have some data, I think, to back that up. I don't think they're going to start paying Impact to air their show on their network unless they are pretty confident it was going to turn into more network subscriptions and a decent amount of network subscriptions, too. But that would be interesting. You know, if they have some type of market research, and I'm sure there's agencies out there that can pull together things like this for them. I know plenty of people there's people that follow me on Twitter that tell me all the time, hey, I watch Impact Wrestling. I don't watch WWE. It's too much time to follow it. I don't have 5 hours a week to watch wrestling, so I don't watch their show. Mm-hmm. If they think it's going to drive some subscribership, drive some subscriptions, I don't think it's something that they would necessarily shy away from. I mean, they're in the business now of network subscribers. Their television deal is paying them a ton of money, and that's great, but they are now in the business of trying to get that subscription number up as high as they can. So I think it's interesting. I never would have thought that this was a possibility. And who knows? Maybe it's not. That may have been not part of the meeting at all. And what you and I are just speculating here. But it's interesting now that we're talking about the possibility of, hey, do we think this was discussed? Because 6 months ago, I would have told you there's no way this would even be a conversation. But I do wonder, you know, what possibly could Impact have been pitching WWE? What possibly does Impact have to offer WWE other than their television show and maybe their video library? I guess theoretically they're already monetizing their own video library with their app, but maybe that's not going well if they're pitching WWE and adding their video library to the network. It's just, it seems weird. You know, I don't know what Impact is in position to pitch WWE on that isn't, you know, hey, do you want to air our show?
My only other outside thought in that aspect, because they're not going to say like, hey, let us invade Raw. they're not going to do anything like that, but maybe they'll be like, hey, next time you run a tournament like a Mae Young, like, let us have some of our wrestlers in there and be represented as Impact wrestlers. I don't see why WWE would go for that, because as we saw, like, they just had Madison Rayne in. But so that's just an outside thought, like, hey, let us, some of our guys just be on your network specials or something along those lines. Very small chance of that happening. But just probably the most likely way we would actually see an Impact wrestler on TV in any form.
I think that Triple H is more open to that type of thing than Vince is, for sure.
Yeah.
So the fact that they were meeting with Triple H's team and not Vince's team, that's not a shock to me at all, because that's who I would expect them to meet with. And also at the same time, like, you know what? 6 years from now, 7 years from now, whenever, when Triple H is kind of in control of the creative direction of the company, I don't know that I'd be shocked to see them partner with some outside companies. I mean, we've seen – look at what they're doing with Evolve right now. I mean, NXT is in a talent-sharing situation with Evolve Wrestling. It was kind of crazy. I went to an Evolve show over the summer and saw Adam Cole defend an NXT championship – at a small indie show that was promoted by Evolve. That's stuff that just wouldn't have happened a year ago, even 2 years ago. It definitely wouldn't have happened if Vince McMahon were still totally in control. So, yeah, I don't know that I would be surprised to see them partner with other companies down the road. Again, I agree with you. They're not invading Raw, but It's interesting to me, because I don't know, again, if they're pitching, I don't know what they have to pitch. You know, it's not like there's not a lot of things that they own that they could be pitching WWE on that I think WWE would take seriously or even take the meeting. And that's the other thing. WWE took the meeting. I mean, I'm sure people want to pitch WWE on things all the time, and they probably turn down pitch meetings every single day. You know, they're a multi-billion dollar media and entertainment company. I'm sure there's people crawling out of the woodwork to pitch them on things, and they don't always take those meetings. So whatever it was that Impact wanted to meet with them about, it was intriguing enough from WWE's standpoint to take the meeting, which is another thing that's fascinating to me about the whole thing. Because, again, I don't know what exactly Impact has in their arsenal that they could pitch WWE on, but whatever it was apparently enticing enough that WWE and some high-level officials, if it's part of Triple H's team and some high-level officials, they took the meeting.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the strangest news stories in a while. Just the fact that it happened at all. You know, I don't like exactly what do they have to offer them? Like, hey, 250,000 people watch us a month, like 3 million or every week, and you have 3 million. Like, you know, everything that they can offer is basically just going to be to benefit themselves. Unless, so that's why it all comes down to the footage for me. Like, hey, maybe they just never met Scott D'Amore and he helped them set up all these different deals to let them license footage. So like, hey, let's just maybe further expand that and see what kind of projects we can work on in the future. Like, hey, you probably want to do a Samoa Joe one someday. We got tons of Jeff Hardy footage you can buy for us. Stuff like that. I think, like, you know, Kurt Angle, I would assume it's got to be like that. And, because if WWE put Impact on their network, it would be so bizarre to just have Impact and nothing else. No other wrestling promotions out there really that are currently going. I guess they could put Evolve on, but it would just be too weird to have all this WWE owned content and then Impact. And just since Impact isn't that popular, I just think it just seems very unlikely right now, unless it is an actual, hey, let's, you know, we are for sale. We're not for sale, but maybe we actually are for sale.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe we're for sale if you give us the right number type of thing.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, I say that about things all the time. Anyone that ever says, oh, my business is not for sale or my house is not for sale. Yeah, that's because you don't have any offers. Like, someone made you the right offer, you're selling your house. Like, guess what? If your house is worth $300,000 and someone comes around and says, hey, I'm going to give you $850,000 for your house, you're probably going to sell it. So anything's for sale for the right – not to sound like the million-dollar man, but everything is for sale at the right price. And that could have been what it was about too. You know, the 200,000, 250,000, 300,000, that's not a lot of television viewers. It doesn't even put a dent really in the WWE's viewership. But I keep going back to subscriber numbers. Like, that does – that could potentially make a dent for them from a subscriber standpoint. You know, maybe that gets them – I don't know where they're at now. I forget. But maybe that gets them from, you know, 1.5 to 1.7. See if I can pull up the subscriber count in the last report. I'm trying to find. Oh, no. They're at 2.1 million now.
Jeez.
This was right after WrestleMania, though, so it's probably dipped a little bit. But, you know, hey, if it gets them from 2.1 to 2.4, that's a pretty big jump. I mean, it doesn't mean a lot in terms of television viewers. I think it does mean a lot to them in terms of network subscribers. And, again, that's going to come back to how many of the Impact audience, how many members of the Impact audience that watch that show aren't current subscribers to our network. And then you also have to figure out a way to determine, okay, let's say there's 300,000 people that watch Impact, 200,000 of them are not subscribers to our network. Okay, well, of that 200,000, how many of those do you think you can convert into paying customers? How many people, if it goes on WWE Network, are just going to say, well, screw it, I'm just not going to watch the show anymore? Because some of that will happen. You know, if you're only going to up your subscriber count by 50,000 people, it's probably not worth it. If you're going to up it by 100,000 people, then I think it is, from WWE's standpoint. You know, like we said, 100,000 people is $12 million a year for Impact Wrestling. Potentially. If 100,000 people signed up to watch the show, it's roughly $12 million a year in new subscribers, which to WWE's bottom line is not exactly a ton of money, but it's still that's a lot of money. It's more than what Impact's generating now for Pop TV and advertising, I can almost promise you. So that it's interesting. You know, I don't know where it's going to lead, but it's interesting. All right. Anything else to add before we get to phone calls?
No, I think it's just I think before too long, we should find out something that went down at that meeting. Me personally,
this is wrestling. People talk.
Yeah, I'm not expecting anything big to come out of it. I could be completely wrong, and maybe they will show up on Raw 2 weeks from now. But I think it'll be pretty minimal, but we'll see.
All right, let's go to phone calls later than expected. I'm sorry, but we'll go up first to Kylan in New Jersey. Kylan, hello.
Hey, Mike and Andrew, how are you guys doing this week?
Pretty good, I'd say.
Yeah, not bad.
I have two theories on this Impact WWE meeting here.
Okay.
Theory number one is Impact management, that of course being Ed Nordholm, Scott D'Amore, and Don Callis, are secretly or maybe not so secretly sick of hunting for a better North American television deal and losing money, and they reached out in desperation to Triple H and I assume Jeremy Borash, since Jeremy Borash is pretty much the head of Triple H's official team at NXT, to inquire about the possibility of selling the company. and or the tape library. Or theory number two, if you remember, Impact is also currently in ongoing litigation with its founder, Jeff Jarrett, over the footage of his original incarnation of Global Force Wrestling, and virtually nobody has subscribed to the Global Wrestling Network at this point, and they and Impact Management may want to shut down the Global Wrestling Network and just sell the tape library to WWE anyway, since they know that nobody will subscribe to the Global Wrestling Network at this point.
Actually, that's a good point with your second theory, because with the exception of the segments that promote the app that they have, Anthem doesn't use that tape library at all. So from their standpoint, is it really even worth anything to them? You know what I mean? I almost wonder, Andrew, what do you think of this? Is the tape library worth more to WWE than it is to Anthem Sports right now? Because WWE could do projects on AJ Styles and Samoa Joe and Bobby Roode and all these guys that at one point were in TNA. They now have access to old footage to do DVD projects or documentary stuff, all the stuff that they like to do. At the same time, like Kylan said, does Impact think that they may need to get rid of this app, which is named after a company and a trademark that they never owned, and therefore they're looking for a way to monetize the tape library in another avenue, you know, knowing that the app, knowing they may know from a legality standpoint that they're going to have to shut this app down. And are they just looking for another way to monetize their tape library in some way? And they could also look at it and say, well, hey, if we don't have this app, if this app that we have has to go away, there's nothing we're going to do with that tape library. It's worthless to us. So let's try to sell it. Even if it's for pennies on the dollar, let's sell it to WWE. At least they're able to use it and we can still continue to go on and be our own company. But really, I mean, from a historical standpoint, there's not much that Anthem, I think, would need that library for. They're not doing anything with it.
The second theory is a good point. I had not thought of that at all. And I wonder at some point if they're going to have to change that anyway. I think it probably is worth more to WWE right now than it is to Impact, because we speculated a couple of weeks ago and we thought like at most maybe 10,000-12,000 people have this thing, and even that I think might be a bit of a stretch. Whereas WWE could then have that footage forever. They're big. You'll occasionally see old matches highlighted on Raw and SmackDown, so it's something they could have forever, working in video packages for years to come. It just does seem, it's a drop in the bucket to what they make, that they could just easily buy this up. The only problem I see, and it makes me wonder, is if Impact gets rid of this footage, like, can they just never show their past again on air? Does that mean they have to rebrand and name themselves something else just to get completely away with that? Or do they just sell the first 5 years worth of footage or something? I don't know how that works, and I'd be curious to see how that would play out.
Yeah, I wonder, could they sell it based on individuals?
Yeah.
Could they say, we are going to sell you the AJ Styles portion of our library, and we are going to sell you the Samoa Joe portion of our – maybe not. Mm-hmm. That might be a little difficult. But or maybe they sell it, but they come up with an agreement where they're still able to use it. Who knows? It could be a million different things that they come up with. But, yeah, it's a good point, Kylan, because – this lawsuit, I would imagine that they're going to lose his lawsuit. They must know that they're going to lose his lawsuit, because they've taken product down off their website that they were selling. I mean, it doesn't look like they have many legs to stand on here. So they may know that the app is going to be the next thing to go.
Either way, I think it's going to be the global Wrestling Network goals, or if they don't reach a new North American television deal by December 31st, they're done.
It's a good point. I mean, they need a new TV deal. We've been talking about that for over a year now. But yeah, no, total agreement. They need to find a different way to distribute themselves, and hopefully a way to distribute themselves to more people, because what they're doing now, just, you're right, it's not working.
So my first question for this week regarding the actual Impact show is, with this episode and some subsequent episodes of Impact taking place in Mexico City, will we see debuts of more talent such as Fabi Apache signing, I guess, per diem or per appearance deals, as opposed to just one-off appearances for one episode of Impact?
Yeah, I think so. I think they're going to continue to use local talent. They did it in Canada. They did it, I believe they did it in India last year to a certain extent. There wasn't a ton of people, I think, that were available, though. I think they will. I think that there's plenty of talent down there in Mexico between CMLL and AAA, and anyone that they can get their hands on that's not an exclusive or under an exclusive agreement with somebody. I think they will try to add. And like you said, even if it's for two nights work, and that's kind of the beauty of their taping schedule. They can bring somebody in for two nights and get them for a month's worth of television. So I think that they will continue to do that, because it's a way to make their roster feel bigger. It's a way to make their roster feel deeper. It's a good idea, and it's something I think they could or should and will continue to do. Andrew, what do you think there?
I think so too. And for me, personally, I think it's one of the big benefits they do have as a viewer watching over WWE, because you see new people and they aren't just treated as complete jobbers when they show up, and it's fresh. You know, I'd never seen Apache?
Yeah.
I had never seen her wrestle before. Whereas if you watch WWE, you kind of see the exact same matches all the time ad nauseum. So I like it. It's effective. I would imagine it doesn't cost them that much money. And then if somebody really gets over in that amount of time, they can just, you know, sign them to a contract if they want, have them travel with them. I think it's definitely something we will be seeing for some time to come.
Okay. Question number two is in regards to the OGs. What do you suppose a concrete jungle death match is?
No idea. I like Andrew's idea. I think it's probably that they're going to fight in the street. Because aside from that, I don't know. I don't see how you can get concrete into a ring. I just don't physically, feasibly, I don't see how you're going to start lugging, you know, these 500-pound slabs of concrete into a ring. So I have to imagine it's them fighting outside. Right, Andrew?
Well, isn't Concrete Jungle just another name for a big city?
I don't know.
I'm looking that up. A modern city or urban area, especially when perceived as an unpleasant or challenging place to live. I think it's just to say they'll be fighting since they're fighting in New York, that's a concrete jungle, I guess. But they'll, yeah, my guess is they'll get him out into the city. It'll be very heavily post-produced, kind of like the Hardy matches were.
And Richie when he got run over by a car.
Poor Richie, yeah. Oh, and someone may die. Eddie Kingston may die. Who knows?
And my final question. Was it me or did you find it very anticlimactic to be forced to believe that Austin Aries could have survived being super kicked and whipped with a bull rope only to be covered and then magically wake up and hit a brain buster and pin El Tejano?
Yeah, that was kind of a weird sequence. It wasn't my favorite. I thought the match overall was pretty good, but I thought that sequence in particular was a little strange. Andrew, what did you think?
I must have looked away for about 2 seconds because, yeah, I saw that and I looked up and he hit the brainbuster. I'm like, wait, what did I miss?
Yeah.
Did he low blow him? Like, what? And then since the show ends right before we went on the air, I didn't have time to go back and rewind it. So I was very confused as well that he was on the very verge of defeat and then hulked up and won the match so quickly.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I wasn't delusional or anything.
No, unfortunately. Well, maybe fortunately. Sorry, I don't want to say unfortunately you're not delusional, but no, I think we were all wondering the same thing.
Yep.
Well, that's it for this week, guys. We'll talk again next week.
Sounds good.
Carlin, thanks for the call. We'll go next to Ryan in Maryland. Ryan, how are you?
Good. First question I have for you is, on the premise the wrestlers did tonight, could the fans understand anything they were saying from the American wrestlers?
You know, that's a good point. I wondered that too. You know, we talked about the lack of crowd reaction to a certain extent. Andrew and I did earlier in the show. That may have been a problem. And that could have also been why, you know, if they aired that Johnny Impact video in the arena, which I assume they did because Austin Aries was talking about it, you know, maybe they weren't entirely sure what was going on there. I did pick up on the fact that when the Mexican wrestlers were introduced, the ring announcer did it in Spanish instead of English. Mm-hmm. So that could have been, and I'm sure it wasn't an issue with everybody. I'm sure there were people in the crowd that spoke English. But, yeah, you know, I think that could have been part of it. It could have been part of the lack of reaction, too. You know, I look at this way, like if I were in Mexico and I was watching a AAA show and everything was in Spanish, I would have no idea what they were saying. So, would I get excited about something said in a promo if I had no idea what was being said? Probably not. I don't think I don't think it's crazy to suggest that could have been part of the issue. What do you think, Andrew?
No, I'm with you. I hadn't really overly thought about that as well. I guess, you know, from my perspective, I was thinking maybe they just have a really bad, I don't know what channel they air on in Mexico, and maybe it's even worse than here, you know, so, something more lackluster than Young and the Restless on before that. It was very strange overall. Yeah, just the lack of reaction. And I think both of those could have played into why nobody really felt like a star except for wrestlers who are, you know, from Mexico.
And my second question for you is on Marty the Moth and Kelsey Green. Could you see them possibly coming to Impact since he won the Lucha title on Wednesday night? And Kelsey has a new gimmick where she does the Canadian Destroyer on the male wrestlers. They tend to sign those Lucha Underground champions like Johnny Impact and Pentagon Dort, I noticed.
You know, maybe in the future. I'm not sure that they'd be able to do it right now. I'm sure they would love to, but I'm not sure that it would work right now. I'm also not sure. I mean, some of these people, like Chelsea Green, they've had, right? So I think they would have just held on to her. I don't know what happened there. It could have just been that she wanted to get away. She was there for a while. So, I don't know. It's – I feel like if they – maybe they wanted to re-sign Chelsea Green and she just didn't want to re-sign with them. That could have been part of it. But, yeah, I don't know if it'll happen right away. I kind of feel like if I were to have to say yes or no, whether or not it will happen soon, I would lean towards no. Andrew, what do you think?
I think Chelsea Green, if she doesn't sign with NXT anytime soon, will probably show up in Impact within the next year. Pure speculation, but it didn't sound like she left on bad terms or anything. She's from Canada, I believe. I could be wrong.
I think she's from Florida now.
Yeah, I think so. Marty the Moth, he did show up when they did that Lucha Underground versus Impact show. So they've had must have had some dealings with him. I am very surprised that him and Willie Mack have never showed up in a more prominent role. It could be that, I don't know, they could be their contracts maybe, even though I know Pentagon and Phoenix are able to show up. Maybe they have them structured differently. I would like to see it. I think Marty's a great character. He's turned into a really good wrestler. The only thing, I don't feel that they're like, well, since they never mentioned Pentagon being Lucha Underground champion while he had the championship belt on Impact. For some reason, they strangely avoided that. So I don't think him having the belt will matter much to Impact management. I just think basically it would come down to, hey, we need a heel, kind of an upper mid-card, potentially main event heel to come in for a little bit. I think that's where it would more come into play if of him coming into the company.
Third question I have for you is on this. Do you think he's done wrestling for Impact Wrestling? I have tickets to see him in a few weeks against Tommy Dreamer in a Monsters Ball match. So I know he has maybe just a little bit left in the tank, but could this be his retirement from the company now?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I think if anything, they'll use him sparingly. You know, they'll use him here and there when they feel like they have something that makes sense, probably in a heavily gimmick match, like a Monsters Ball match, because they can hide the fact that he's, not as mobile as he, I'm sure, once was. So, yeah, I think they could use him on occasion, but I think his days, you know, as a full-time wrestler are over and kind of have been over really since the end of Decay. I mean, he hasn't been on the show in a regular role on a weekly basis since then. So, I think, you know, he'll be a part-time guy that they can bring in from time to time, maybe do one or two matches a year. But for the most part, his days as a regular on the roster are probably done. Andrew, what do you think?
I think full-time is done. I don't think he's fully retired from Impact. I think Don Callis and Damore probably just don't have a spot for him because, he's probably only going to show up, wrestle two, maybe three times a year. And that's probably where he should be at this point. We saw that video package tonight and he's done a lot of great work. But, man, he's like, you know, Undertaker is probably 10 years older than him. And it seems like Abyss is probably about as beat up as him, if not more. So I don't think he is somebody that they really see like, hey, we can build around. Or we can put him in, he can be on TV every week in a prominent role. But I think we will see him wrestle again in Impact, yeah.
And they showed Chris Sabin wrestling tonight. Do you think there's any chance, I know Alex Shelley is retired, but with all these wrestlers coming out of retirement, do you think it's possible we could ever see the Motor City Machine Guns ever again?
I don't think we'll see the tag team ever again. I wouldn't rule out seeing Chris Sabin back in Impact at some point for either a short run or maybe even a long run. Who knows? But yeah, I don't know. I would be shocked if we ever saw the tag team again. I think, Alex Shelley has been through a lot. It sounds like his retirement is a legitimate wish. So I would be surprised if we saw the tag team again. Andrew, what do you think?
I'm probably a little more optimistic on than you, just because he kind of left the door open a little, but he did. Yeah, he retired, but he's young. I want to say he's about 35-ish. I think he's 35, 36. So maybe in a couple of years, management changes and they do like a reunion for a little bit. But the problem is they just weren't ever huge. They weren't a crazy. They were really, really, really talented guys. Just Impact, you know, gave them the belts, but they never really fully got behind them, it seems. So they're not like this legacy act that it would be crazy if they never did come back. I'd love to see it, but odds are I would say probably won't happen, but I wouldn't be completely shocked.
Hey, thanks for taking my call tonight.
All right, Ryan, thanks for the call. Let's go to another break. When we come back, I have one more thing I want to add, Andrew, that we should talk about with this whole mysterious WWE Impact meeting. I have another theory, but we will get to that in just a second, right after the break. You're listening to the PW Torch Livecast here on a Thursday.
Wrestling fans, if you're looking for a unique and entertaining way to get your wrestling podcast fix, check out Ring Rust Radio. Ring Rust Radio uses its trademark brand of banter to cover all professional wrestling you love, including WWE, NXT, New Japan, Lucha Underground, ROH, Impact Wrestling, and more. We also hold sit-down interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of the business, such as Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Chris Jericho, Kurt Angle, Trish Stratus, AJ Styles, and Roman Reigns. For those of you who want their wrestling with a perfect mix of serious analysis and comic relief, find Ring Rust Radio dropping every Wednesday night on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back here at the PW Torch Livecast. Andrew, one thing that I think is interesting, and I thought about it while we were taking the call from Ryan when he talked about the viewership and what are the television ratings in Mexico. You know, we talk about the 300,000 people that watch the show domestically and how that could mean, you know, X number of subscribers for the WWE network, and maybe that's why they would be interested in airing the show. There's one thing that we didn't discuss and I think is intriguing, and that's how many people watch the show internationally. India is a market that WWE is clearly trying to get into. You know, they ran a show in India earlier this year. India is, like we said, the highest lucrative deal or the most lucrative deal that Impact has as far as television goes. That would lead me to believe that when they air on Sony 6, they do a pretty good number. Or else why would Sony 6 be paying enough money to call themselves the most lucrative television deal that the company has if nobody was watching the show? So maybe it's not about domestic subscriptions as much as it's about, hey, here's a popular show in India, and here's a chance for us to pick up some of their viewers. You know, maybe not all the TV deals would expire at the same time, but maybe there's an agreement where, okay, you're going to come on board with us, you know, now when your pop TV deal domestically is up, but then as your international television deals expire, you know, we become the lone home for Impact Wrestling. That makes, I think, even more sense as to why they may be interested in the show. It may not be about domestic subscribers. It could be about international subscribers.
That's an interesting point. I mean, the unfortunate thing is, like, I never get to see these numbers. I don't know if they've ever released them in any form or any way you can find
them. The international ones I've never seen.
Yeah, I mean, I'd read that they were doing really well in the UK and it was a few years ago, and it was a pretty popular, relatively show. But yeah, I haven't heard anything since then. I don't know how well it's doing in India, but that's a good point.
Yeah, I would imagine it's doing moderately well if India is their biggest moneymaker as far as TV goes.
Yeah, and now Mahabali Sharma is free again. They can sign him.
Yes, they can.
This is good. This is working out well.
Dance to the ring for no reason.
Sharma Shuffle is running wild.
That's what it's called.
Can't believe you forgot.
I know. Shame on me.
It's popular, yeah. No, good point. I don't know how many people. God, I wish I could see the numbers for how their show is doing there. I think that'd be really interesting. And numbers of how many subscribers, WWE Network subscribers, there are in India. I don't know if it's 100,000 or 50,000 or where those are coming from. But it could certainly be a way to just increase their presence there a little bit, and that which could potentially help them out a lot, because it's all about, you know, Wall Street, and, you know, they want to see that these numbers keep growing, and that even if it's a very small way, it might be worth the investment for them.
Yeah, and, you know, like we said, WWE has sent out surveys, it seems like at least once a quarter, where they ask people, you know, what other promotions do you want to see on the network? There's got to be a reason why they keep asking that question.
I know it never seems to go anywhere.
Yeah, it does. You're right. It never really seems to formulate or like you said, go anywhere or become anything. But still, the fact that they keep asking the question over and over again, there's got to be a reason for it.
I mean, they basically have the money to buy every wrestling promotion on the planet and could shut them down if they want. So it's, you know, do they need the help? That's where I think the subscription numbers that you brought up earlier is interesting. And even a few thousand or tens of thousands or more would, you know, potentially pay off for them.
All right. Let's see. Anything else that we need to touch on before we get out of here, do you think?
What are the odds that Mahabali Shera shows up in the next 3 months on Impact?
I hope very low, but you know what though? I'm going to say low because I don't know that like Don Callis is going to look at Mahabali Shera and say, yes, that's a guy we need to sign. Like, no, I just don't. I don't think he's going to view him as a must add. So I'm going to say very low.
I think I'm going to go with you. Although they do have the tag team. So they may be trying with Singh. So maybe they're trying to make that something. They have the tag team against LAX next week and who knows?
Yeah.
But I'm going to go with you. I don't think Don Callis has any sort of fondness for Shera. And he never made it to TV a single time on NXT. So probably not.
Did I miss a reference or did they not mention Chris Jericho tonight?
No, they did at one point. They briefly brought it up. They didn't do in past weeks. They've done full screen 20, 30 seconds worth. And tonight it was just a brief lower corner. Yeah, it was definitely more subdued tonight.
I may have been out of the room or something.
Which is interesting because if Bound for Glory is coming up, that they took a little bit of a back step on plugging him tonight.
Unless they're trying to make people forget about him.
That also could be me, yeah. You know,
especially, I mean, Chris Jericho likes things to be surprises. So it wouldn't surprise me if they're dialing it back a little bit because they want it to feel like a surprise.
Yeah.
Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. We'll see. Let's see. Yeah, I'm looking through. There's nothing really else that I think we missed other than the general stuff, which is like, hey, Trevor Lee lost again. They're wasting.
Oh, God. That was a squash.
That was brutal. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing really else that I think we missed here.
Yeah. I think, you know, Joe Hendry's song, I guess.
Yeah. That was there.
That was there. just briefly, like, he humiliated Joe Hendry, basically humiliated Katarina because he turned her down on national TV. They came back the following week to embarrass her again. And now they're singing a song to embarrass her once more. Like, these guys are jerks.
Yeah. Yep. 100%. Who's the heel? Nobody knows.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Nobody knows. All right. Well, I think that will do it then for the live cast for this week. We don't have a VIP after show because there's nothing to make picks on. There will be next week. Is there something next week?
Oh, God. Damn, like 90 things going on right now. When is Australia? Is that?
That's October. Maybe it will be next week. It'll be October 6th, I think, right? So, no, it'll be 2 weeks. We'll have an after show in 2 weeks.
Okay.
I think we're on the air the day before. I think the 6th, I think, is a Friday. So I think we're on the air the day before. But we've got Saudi Arabia shows coming up, and we've got Evolution, and other things happening. We'll make Bound for Glory picks. Although we'll probably make Bound for Glory picks on the live cast, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I think that's what we usually do. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, that I think will do it for this week's edition of the Thursday live cast. Anything you need to plug or want to plug before we ride off into the sunset for another week?
Before we go off into the sunset, check out pwpodcast.com for written recaps of pro wrestling podcast. If you want to contribute, if there's a show out there that you don't see covered on the site, there are a million shows out there, so love to get more shows covered. Reach out to me at pwpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I am at @AndrewSouCek.
If you want to argue with me on Twitter, because that seems to be all I'm doing with people lately, you can do that at Mike McMahon PW. spelled just like Vince's last name with a PW at the end of it. So Mike McMahon, PW. And, of course, you can follow the Torch brand at PW Torch. Speaking of the PW Torch brand, you should go VIP along with a lot of other fine folks who get a lot of other great things by being a VIP member here at PW Torch. If you like our audio and our live cast, you're going to love all the audio you get when you're a VIP member. And Wade Keller is going to tell you more about that in just a second. But for Andrew Socek, I am Mike McMahon. We thank you for listening. We thank you for calling. And we'll talk to you next Thursday, right after Impact, here on the PW Torch Livecast.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, this show can be ad-free and commercial-free with a VIP membership. VIP members not only enjoy all 7 episodes of the PW Torch Livecast with no commercials and the ads and plugs edited out, but they also get ad-free additions to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post shows and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast. Also, part of a VIP membership and exclusive shows such as the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline, the 3 times a week Bruce Mitchell audio show, including a new weekly mailbag edition with Bruce, The Fix with Todd Martin that I also host, post-pay-per-view roundtables that I host, and other shows on specific topics, including the new Talking Honor podcast with Lola and Harley discussing the latest in ROH, including a review of the latest TV show. And now we are proud to announce that Alan Cunahan, known as Alan 4L, has brought his talents to PW Torch after many years at The Observer. And there's a lot of excitement about his new weekly show called Alan 4L's Pro Wrest Paradise, with the best coverage of New Japan, all of Japan, the UK indie scene, including the US indie scene. So be sure to become a PW Torch VIP member for as little as $8.25 a month on average, and have multiple new VIP exclusive and ad-free podcasts every day on customizable feeds on your iPhone and Android device. For more information and our sign-up form, go to pwtorch.com/govip. And you'll find out what else comes with VIP membership, including a weekly newsletter, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter that started it all, ad-free access to our mobile and desktop sites, and more. Full lineup, full details, and the sign-up form at pwtorch.com/govip.